Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. It's the 20th of March, 2019. There's a lot going on today. I guess it's the vernal equinox. Spring is here and upon us. I don't know if the full moon is out there now or it's the second turnaround today. It's a full warm moon. And Major League Baseball season should have kicked off about 25 minutes ago in Tokyo with the A's and Mariners playing. So there is a lot going on. I'll just go ahead and jump right in.
The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies that even the G-men cannot reach. The Green Hornet.
This particular Green Hornet episode, I believe it's the second one available, called There Was a Crooked Man. It's an original air date of the 24th of May, 1938. The show was created by George Trendle and Fran Stryker on Detroit radio station WXYZ. And today we're going to have a special guest who won the Grand Hour Quiz Concert Contest for correctly identifying Al Hodge as Britt Reed, masked crime fighter known as the Green Hornet. There's no document dated credits for Cato.
Adventure, There Was a Crooked Man. The events and characters depicted in this drama are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. Aboard the eastbound transport plane.
I hope the next time they hold a newspaper convention, it'll be a little nearer home.
At any rate, Britt, we're lucky to have been on the same plane. Hope you got as much out of your convention as I got out of my trip to Chicago.
Oh, this reminds me, Conway. Why did you go to Chicago?
Why?
Well, when James Conway, a one-man grand jury investigating graft, leaves for an airplane trip, that's news.
That's what I'm afraid of. I'd as soon rather not have it known that I went to Chicago.
Oh?
Hope you won't publicize it.
The simplest way to keep things out of the paper, Conway, is to confide in a newspaper man. If he thinks you're trying to hide something and put one over on him, he'll get answers and publish them.
Frankly, then, I went there in connection with the graft problem.
I assumed as much.
There were a couple of men doing a term in Joliet. I had enough on them to make sure of another rap when they finished this one. So they were glad to talk to me.
You wouldn't resort to blackmail to get facts, would you?
Britt, in smashing this graft ring, I'd resort to practically anything.
Bad as that?
Worse than anyone realizes. Right here in this briefcase, I hold the data that will smash this ring.
How about some advance information?
Well, I might make a deal with you.
Eh?
You want information to get what you call a scoop for your paper.
I'd like to have the Daily Sentinel be the first to announce what you will reveal.
And you'll have your scoop, if
What's the if, Conway?
If you let me have everything in your possession pertaining to the Green Hornet.
What?
The Green Hornet.
But, Conway, what makes you think the Daily Sentinel has anything about him?
Perhaps you haven't. In that case, I'll get the worst of the bargain. On the other hand, perhaps you have. I'll have to rely entirely on your word of honor.
I see.
I'll promise you a scoop on my exposé when I'm ready to break it. Provided you give me your word of honor to tell me all you know about the Green Hornet.
Well, my word of honor, eh?
Precisely.
Let me think this proposition over, Conway.
What? Think it over? Then you do know more about it than the police have announced.
I'm not committing myself just yet. Oh, by the way, I must send a radiogram to the paper to have my valet meet me at the field.
Well, that won't be necessary. My daughter Polly will be there.
Oh, but I don't want...
She'll have her car to meet me. We can drop you any place you say.
Well, if it won't put you out, you can drop me at my office.
Not at all, Reed. Glad to.
Meanwhile, at the airport, Ed Lowry of the Sentinel approached a sport roadster.
Say, you're Polly Conway, right?
What? Why, yes.
My name's Lowry of the Sentinel. Waiting for the Chicago plane?
Yes.
By any chance, are you waiting for your father?
How did you know who I was?
Those low license plates are a dead giveaway, Miss Conway.
Oh.
Heard your old man... your father was digging up some facts in the Midwest.
Well, I'm sure I wouldn't know. How soon is the plane due to land?
Half hour.
Are you here to meet Father, too?
Me? No. No, I'm just here scouting for news. You know, sometimes big names come in on the planes.
Oh.
My boss was in Chicago, too. Wonder if you met your father there.
Mr. Reed?
Yeah, know him?
Indeed, yes, very well.
Say, that's one nasty mess we're having in this town, isn't it, Miss Conway? I wonder how your father's investigation is going.
I'm sorry, Mr. Lowry,
If anyone can smash this graft ring, he's the man to do it.
You really think so?
He's told you about it, of course.
Well, he...
A couple dozen gambling houses running wide open with all kinds of protection. Cheap joints where they let a sucker play for a nickel and others where they let them do anything to limit, win or lose.
Yeah, really,
Oh, Miss Conway, he must have mentioned them to you.
Well, if he has, I've paid little attention.
The sheriff of the county attempts a raid once in a while, but there's always a tip-off.
Is there?
Yes. Yet the same sheriff completely smashes the joints that try to open in competition to Deke Slotkin. Say, what's your father said about Deke Slotkin? Now, there's a crook who's in solid. Wonder how much he pays for protection.
If you're trying to get information out of
me... No, where'd you get that idea? I'll bet Deke Slotkin has tried to approach your father, hasn't he?
Miss Conway?
Yes?
Wire just came to the office for you.
Thank you.
From your father?
Oh, really, Mr. Lowry, it's none of your business. Darn.
Bad news?
You missed the plane and we'll have to come by rail. I'm to meet up at the station later.
I'll go with you.
Oh, no, you won't.
Wait, I'll tell you what. Let me check at the office and see the passenger list of that plane.
Goodbye, Mr. Lowry. It's nice to meet you.
Now, lady, wait.
Gosh, what a girl.
Why do people have to turn right in the middle of the road? Can't you pull to the side and let me pass?
Just a minute, lady.
Oh, I didn't see. Put that gun down. What does this mean?
Just keep your hands on the steering wheel, Miss Conway. I'm riding with you, and you go where I tell you.
How dare you? Get out of my car. What's the meaning?
Now, take it easy, and you won't be hurt. Okay, boys. Pull to the side and let us by.
You can't get away with this.
Turn left at the next side road.
Why, you...
Do as I say.
The next morning in the office of the Daily Sentinel...
Holy mackerel, if this don't beat the Chinese. Hey, where's Gunnigan?
Lunch.
I thought a city editor lived on ink and paper. Lunch. With a story like this, he's eating. Gangway, I gotta see the boss.
What's the matter with you, Lowry?
Deke Slotkin smacked the homer with the bases loaded.
Good grief, Lowry. Easy on that door.
Where's the boss? Where's Reed?
What do you want him for? He's busy.
Yeah? Well, tell him that Deke Slotkin's finally found enough cash to bribe James Conway.
Watch yourself, Lowry. That's one of those things that calls for lots of proof.
You said it, Casey. And what I'd give to be the guy to prove it.
What's the matter, Lowry?
Get a load of this, boss.
Conway reports that he couldn't find a thing against Dick Slotkin, the sheriff, or anyone else in the gambling ring.
What?
Here's his statement. It just came in.
Oh, but that's impossible.
It's a lot of bunk. He had plenty of stuff before he went to Chicago.
How do you know he went to Chicago?
Don't ask me. I know, that's all.
That trip was kept secret.
A guy in Conway's spot conducting a grand jury investigation don't have any secrets. Besides, I was at the airport yesterday. His daughter Polly was there.
Oh, she was?
Yeah, I tried to get some information from her, but she was too smart.
She wasn't there when the plane landed.
No, her father didn't come by plane. She got a wire to meet him at the central station. He came by train.
Hey, wait a minute, Lowry. Let's get this straight. You say Conway wired that he'd not be on that plane?
Sure, then his daughter drove away.
And you say that he did have enough charges against the Slotkin crowd before he went to Chicago?
Yeah, and he must have got something in Chicago. Now he comes back and says he has no evidence. Hands in a report that the sheriff and his stooges are perfectly okay. Says Dick Slotkin is on the level. And we know darn well this county reeks with Greg.
But Lowry.
Yeah?
James Conway was on that plane.
He was?
Well, certainly. I talked with him all the way from Chicago.
Why did he send that wire?
Why didn't he have his daughter stay there?
Miss Case, get Conway on the phone.
Very well.
If he isn't at his office, try his home. If he's not there, try the Civic Club.
Right.
Lowry, you get on the trail of Dick Slotkin.
Me?
Right.
James
have
Conway
Slade cover the sheriff's office. Get Parker and Milray and have them cover some of Slotkin's joints tonight and see how they're doing. They'll know whether or not the gambling is running full blast.
And if it is?
Well, no, Slotkin's mob feels perfectly safe.
I get it. The last 2 weeks, they've had a soft pedal on.
Get going.
Don't worry. I'm on my way.
Oh,
sorry, buddy. I didn't see you come. James Conway.
Conway, the very man I want to see. Come in.
I was just calling you.
Say, Mr. Conway, I want to talk to you.
On your way, Lowry. This doesn't change instructions as far as you're concerned.
Oh, how do you...
Britt, I want to speak to you.
There's no one I'd sooner see.
Privately, if you please.
Oh, come on in my office. Miss Case, if those other men Lowry's going to call for me should come in for orders, have them wait.
Yes, Mr. Reed.
There we are. Sit down, Conway. One of my reporters brought in some news about you.
Yes, yes, I know they did. All the papers have it. I couldn't do anything else. I had to issue that statement.
And that you made no findings whatever against the gambling graft?
Yes, Reed, I had no choice.
What's behind this, Conway?
Reed, there's just one man who knows I did have information.
Well, I knew it. You told me as much on the plane yesterday.
That's why I'm here today. To ask, to beg you, Reed, to forget everything I said yesterday.
Why?
Please, please don't ask any questions. Will you do as I ask?
That's a large order, Conway.
I know.
You told me yesterday you were ready to smash the gambling ring in this county. You said you got enough information in Chicago to expose the sheriff and his crooked deputies. You guaranteed to prove that Deke Slotkin could run his gambling houses wide open because he was paying plenty for protection.
I know. I wish I'd bitten my tongue off before I said that.
What's happened since then?
I can't tell you. I can't tell anyone.
Conway, I told you yesterday that you could trust a newspaper man.
This is different.
I also told you that if you tried to put one over on a newspaper man, he'd go a long way to get to the bottom of things.
I know, Reed. But this... Well, you can't get to the bottom of this.
Where's your daughter, Conway?
What?
You heard me. Where's your daughter, Polly?
Why, That is, she's out of town.
Are you sure she's out of town?
What are you driving at, Reed?
Just this, Conway. Your daughter went to meet you at the airport yesterday. Someone sent her a telegram. She drove away from the airport. Has anyone seen her since then?
Good Lord, how do you know these things?
Has she been taken by Slotkin's mob?
Reed,
are they holding her? Do they demand that you surrender all the evidence against them as the price for her safety?
You seem to know.
Conway, what are you going to do about it?
I have no choice, Reed.
Are you going to let a gang of crooks get away with...
Reed, for 20 years I've served the public. Worked for the interests of the people. When Matterling ran for the office of sheriff, I fought against his election. He was elected through no fault of mine.
Well, you needn't tell me, Conway. I fought with you.
As soon as Matterling took office, he started this tie-up with Slotkin. To correct the mistake the voters made, I kept after him. I did have a case against him. I meant to expose him. But now I can't, Reed. I'll give everything I've got in public service, except my daughter. No matter how much I may want to expose this gambling ring, my daughter's safety comes first.
Even though you know who captured her, you can't do anything about it.
How can I? Any one of dozens of underworld rats could have handled this abduction.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right.
And there's no way to force those behind it to admit their connections.
How are you advised what to do?
They called me on the phone.
Have you destroyed the evidence?
No.
Handed it over to them?
I will do so.
But you haven't done it yet.
I can't say any more, Britt. I came here simply to ask you to forget what I said yesterday.
Where is that evidence now?
Britt, I can't say any more. Will you do what I've asked?
You may count on me, Conway.
I knew I could.
Later, in Britt Reed's apartment, the young publisher spoke to Cato, his faithful valet, and the only living person to know him as the Green Hornet.
Cato, we're going out tonight. We're going to see what we can do.
Very well, Mr. Britt.
I wondered, Cato, just how I could give Conway all the information I had about the Green Hornet.
No, you're not have to.
No, Cato, I won't have to. His daughter's disappearance makes it unnecessary to keep that bargain with Conway. Still, I'd almost prefer telling him the whole story if it were the only way to smash this gambling ring.
Mr. Conway's a smart man.
Conway's very smart, Cato. He's told no one else about his daughter's abduction. I'm the only one.
Then you must be careful, sir.
You're right. If the Hornet should show a knowledge of his daughter's abduction, Conway will know Britt Reed is the Green Hornet. Unless...
Unless what, Mr. Reed?
Unless Conway is made to believe that the Green Hornet is one of the abductors. Come, Cato. The mask and the weapon. Tonight, Conway is going to meet the Green Hornet.
The curtain falls on the first act of our Green Hornet adventure. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments.
You're listening to The Grand Hour with Arthur on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. This is There Was a Crooked Man, possibly recorded episode two. The show started 2 years prior, but I don't know if there's any recordings that exist prior to the one I played last week. This original air dates the 24th of May, 1938. Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov's Flight of the Bumblebee was the signature sound to this. Forget the Green, the Lone Ranger had a very notable piece of classical music with that one. And actually, Britt Reed is the grand nephew to the Lone Ranger.
Now to continue our story. The only way Britt Reed could offer aid as the Green Hornet without making James Conway suspect his true identity was to pose as a member of the gang that had kidnapped Conway's daughter. With this as his plan, he guided the sleek black beauty to the court outside Conway's study.
We'll wait here in the car, Cato.
Yes, Miss Britt.
I'll go through that French window. Conway's in his study.
Farewell.
What are you doing in
back
here?
Inside.
Matt.
In, Conway. We'll talk inside the study.
The Green Hornet.
I guess you know why I'm here, don't you?
I can imagine.
Why?
You and those other rats are after the portfolio.
Well, where is it?
I thought there'd be a phone call. I've been waiting for it.
I'm here. There's no need for the phone call.
But if I give you what you want, how do I know my daughter will return safely?
You'll have to take your chances on that.
If she's seen any of you, you might not let her go free to testify.
She certainly won't go free if you don't stop stalling. Hand over those affidavits.
But
be quick about it.
I have them. I'll get them. Now you, put your hands up.
Who are you?
Hurry. Raise your hands or I'll blast you into eternity.
More nerve than I gave you credit for, Conway.
Take off that mask.
Conway, do you know what this will mean to your daughter?
I know that I'm about to learn the identity of the Green Hornet. After that, I'll dictate the terms. You'll send my daughter back, not to save the gambling ring, but to protect yourself. My silence in exchange for my daughter's life.
Don't be a fool, Conway. You can't help your daughter this way.
Take off that mask. I... Take it. Something's wrong. My throat. Oh.
Too bad, Conway. You forgot I might have an assistant.
I saw him.
Shot gas from the window just in time. Now get in here quickly. We've got to find those papers. They must be in here somewhere. He was waiting for a phone call from the gang.
We'd better hurry.
He started for this drawer. Perhaps Yeah, here's a portfolio.
Is that the one?
Yes. Yes. Well, this evidence is enough to send Sheriff Matterling, three of his deputies, and the entire gambling ring to jail for life.
He had them, eh?
And on top of that, they have a kidnapping charge to face. Conway said he was waiting for a phone call.
Yes, sir.
It was to tell him how to go about exchanging these papers for his daughter. Well, we'll stay right here and take that call.
Suburban home where Polly Conway was held captive, Deke Slotkin made his phone call.
The girl? Well, Conway, you'll just have to take our word for it that she's safe. Yes. Yes, of course you can talk to her. Bring the dame over here.
Go ahead, sister. Talk into that phone.
Oh, you cowardly...
Never mind the names. Your father's on the other end of this phone. Say something.
Dad, don't pay any attention to them.
That's enough.
Don't listen to them, Dad.
Come on. You heard the boss.
Hello, Conway. Don't try to trace this call because we ain't calling from the place you'll find us at when you bring the stuff, see? Matter of fact, I'll tell you where we're calling from. It's your own house in the country. All right, you mugs. Take the girl out to the car. Get her to the next place. I told Conway to meet us there.
You think he'll bring the stuff with him?
Sure he will. Sure.
You'll be sorry for this. My father won't let you get away with it.
Take her out and get started. We'll come in the car.
Come on. Let's get going.
Deke.
Yes, Steve?
The dame's seen us all. We don't dare let her go.
No?
She'll squawk. She'll send us all to the gal for life.
Who said anything about letting her go?
On the other hand, if we don't let her go, Conway knows who'll be doing her in.
It's all worked out, Steve. We got the girl's car parked at the 7-Eleven Club.
Yeah?
Conway comes there with the evidence and leaves with the girl.
Sure, but...
On the way back to town, they cross the Battlestone Bridge. And that's where they have an accident. And get this, Steve. You know how it's gonna look like this accident happened?
I'm listening.
It's gonna look like he come out here with his daughter. They had a couple of drinks. A couple too many, get it? And Conway's too tight to drive his car, so he goes off the bridge.
Boy, that's a lulu.
Yeah, and six of you guys will swear the girl was at the club. Come on now, we gotta get to the 7-Eleven Club before Conway does. Tell the boys to watch for his car in the parking lot.
Right.
Conway is one guy that couldn't be reached with cash. Well, we'll reach him this way. Permanently, Steve. Permanently.
When James Conway recovered consciousness...
What? Hornet. The Green Hornet. Gas. I remember. Gas. Knocked me out. Weak as a kitten. Here, the desk drawer. The papers. Papers gone. The Hornet. Oh, yeah. The phone. I'll show him. He can't bluff me. Hello. Give me police headquarters. What's this? Drop something. Address. Good Lord. Hello. Police headquarters. James Conway speaking. I just found a clue to the Green Hornet. Yes. Send Sergeant Doyle here with men he can pick out and trust. I know he's on the level. Warrant nothing. We're going to raid the 7-Eleven and do it without a tip-off. We don't need warrants where the Green Hornet is concerned.
Cato these papers tell all about the 7-Eleven Club. Now, there's a secret entrance to Deke Slotkin's office. How much is required for protection?
That is good.
If only Conway is the fighter he proved to be when I was in his home.
If he is not, Mr. Bed.
If he isn't, Cato, I don't know what will happen. It might mean the end of the Green Hornet. Our luck must make James Conway realize what the note I dropped in his office meant. It must give him added courage enough to act on it.
More, Mr. Bed.
More? What do you mean, more?
You must get out of the club.
Yes, that's a problem, Cato. Once inside the 7-Eleven Club, how am I going to get out? There's the club just ahead. Now to find that secret entrance.
According to the information in the portfolio, that entrance to Deke Slotkin's office must be through that little woodshed.
Yes, Mr. Brett.
Well, that's the way I'm going in. Take the car, Cato, and leave me here.
But, Mr. Brett, how you get away?
I don't know yet, Cato, but don't bother about me. You get this car back to the hiding place. There's nothing more you can do.
Polly Conway, her hands still tied, was in Slotkin's office.
Better put a gag on it, too, Steve.
Okay, boss. Whatever you say.
Yes, you'd better, you pack of yellow rats. Four of you here, and you're afraid of one girl.
Shut up. Take it easy. Get a gag in her mouth and get outside. Watch for Conway's car. Who's that?
I wouldn't know, boss.
Who knows about the secret door to this place?
You got me, Deke. Must be one of the bunch.
The only one of the bunch that knows about that isn't here. He's in Stir in Chicago.
Maybe he's out.
No, he isn't out. If he was, we'd have heard of it before this.
Say, do you suppose Conway knows about that?
Maybe he does.
Should I open it?
Yeah, open it up.
All of you, stand where you are.
Hey, what's that? The Hornet!
What the Sam?
Move back in there.
Hey, what's all that smoke behind you?
The tunnel behind me's been filled with gas. You better close that panel if you don't want it to come into this office.
I'll close it.
What's a big idea? Who sent you?
I'm here representing Conway. Close that panel. That means no one will leave by this exit, Slotkin.
Did Conway send you here?
What do you think? I'm here to take the girl and leave these papers.
Hold on. That stuff don't go, understand?
Oh, you figure on stopping me, Slotkin?
Now, Hornet, put down the rod. We can get together.
Untie that girl. Hurry it up. I'm taking her out of here with me.
And just how do you figure on getting her out, Hornet? You think you can walk right through that crowd in the gambling rooms here with a Hornet mask on without nobody stopping
you? I said I'm tired.
Guess again, fellow. I'll shake it down. Gas!
If anyone else wants some gas, just make a play for a gun. You're going to untie that girl, and I'll have to gas the bunch of you and do it myself.
Take the ropes off her, Steve. He can't get out of here.
Okay.
Conway thought you wouldn't be dependent on to keep your word. He kept his. You see, here are the papers, all the evidence he got against you.
Yeah, let me look at them.
Now remove that gag.
All right. I'm doing it.
I suppose you think you're smart finding that secret entrance. Well, let me tell you, Hornet, you haven't a chance in the world of getting out of here.
That's the cops. The signal. It's a raid.
We didn't get a tip.
Don't try to rush that door.
We got a scram.
Help!
Boss, the dame. Them papers, if they catch us...
Then we'll find you here. See how you like this gas. There's enough of that bomb to fill the room, and here's some more. Now to get out of here. Across the corridor. Hear that room there.
Come on, then. Private
officers
this way.
I'm right with you, Conway.
Get back there. Here's one raid you weren't kicked off.
Here's the office.
The door is open.
Conway, why didn't you tell me you were going to raid
tonight? Me? You here?
It looks that way, huh?
Holy smoke, boss. You can't be here founding a raid.
I was after information.
Stay with us, Reed. My daughter is here somewhere. The Hornet's here, too.
The Hornet?
Yeah, he tried to threaten Conway. He's in with a gang. You stick with us, boss. Make out you made the raid along with us. Oh, there's my daughter. Polly. Polly, are you all right?
This room's filled with gas.
Careful how you enter it.
What's this stuff?
My evidence. The things the Hornets told.
Here's Ferber, Slotkin, and a couple of others. They're out cold.
Polly, speak to me. Are you all right?
I'm sure she's not harmed, Mr. Conway. The gas the Hornet uses is not dangerous.
Mr. Reed, this will smash the ring. Look at the stuff that's here.
I know.
You know?
Well, Conway told me about it. I think, Conway, that now the Sentinel has a story.
The Sentinel has. I wonder which of these four men is the Green Hornet.
I doubt if any of them is.
You seem to know a lot about the Green Hornet. You said the gas was not dangerous. You claim none of these is the Hornet.
I happen to know quite a bit about the Green Hornet. In my position with the Sentinel, I've been well informed about him.
That's right, Conway. There's only one guy that knows more about the Green Hornet than Britt Reed does. And that's the Green Hornet himself.
Exposed by grand jury. Green Hornet still at large.
Okay, that was There Was a Crooked Man. Original air date, the 24th of May, 1938. Again, the Green Hornet was created by George Trendle and Fran Stryker. I know at least George Trendle developed the Lone Ranger in Detroit on WXYZ. Again, the very signature theme is Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov's Flight of the Bumblebee. And we do have a guest here to fulfill our FCC obligations because he won the Grand Hour quiz for correctly identifying Al Hodge as Britt Reid, masked crime fighter known as the Green Hornet. Again, there were various credits for who played Cato. They weren't dated in the Encyclopedia of the Old Time Radio, so my apologies for not being able to credit him. I'll look into that a little bit more because I got plenty of these Green Hornets.
If you have a computer with a webcam and you don't use it, why not cover the camera up with a piece of opaque tape? In addition to government programs, there's plenty of other malware and viruses that can hijack the computer's camera to spy on you. So if you don't use it, consider covering it up. A message in the public interest from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Thank you, Mac. Again, who did you correctly identify as the Green Hornet in the Grand Hour quiz?
Hodges.
That's right. That is correct. For the second half of the show, I'm going to play Have Gun, Will Travel. I did play one of these, I forget, maybe in December. This one has a little baseball implications. Because he's going to teach Hey Boy how to play baseball. That's why I chose it, because it's episode 54 called Bitter Revenge. It has an original air date of the 29th of November, 1958. Again, this is Arthur with the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. Thanks for listening.
Me from getting these logs through. My gun is pointed at your man's head. Now put your rifle down, or he'll be a long time dead.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875. The Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Yes. Who is it?
It's Hey Boy.
Well, come in, Hey Boy.
No, can't open door, Mr. Paladin. Arm is full.
Oh. All right. Wait a minute.
Oh. See, Mr. Paladin?
Good heavens, what's all that you're carrying?
Baseball things. You remember you said you teach Hey Boy how to play baseball? Hey, can I bring stuff in? Sit down?
Well, yes. Of course.
Yes, sir. Oh, it's a great heavy mess learning to play baseball.
What on earth are all those things supposed to be, Hey Boy?
Bats.
Bats?
What do you think, Mr. Paladin?
Well, it looks like you brought every kind of stick you could find.
Oh, you saw. Wide ones, skinny ones, fat ones. Hey, boy, have many basketball players to choose from.
Oh, I see.
You saw. Shall we get started, Mr. Paladin? Hey, boy, I want to tell all members of Chinese Imperial Dragon Club about your baseball. You take your bat now?
No, not now. Hey, boy, I've got to finish packing.
Oh, you leave today?
Well, yes, I thought you knew.
Oh, to see Macy Mitchell in Washington Territory?
That's right.
Oh, hey, boy, think you leave tomorrow.
Well, you've been so busy buying up all that baseball equipment, you've lost track of the days. You want to help me finish packing?
Yes, sir. So sorry, hey, boy, forgot.
There'll be plenty of time for your baseball lessons when I get back. You'll have all winter to practice.
Oh, you think Imperial Dragon Club have good team by springtime?
If they're as interested as you are, it should be one of the best teams in San Francisco.
Oh, very good. This make hey boy very important man in club.
Elizabeth Mitchell had been in San Francisco attending a finishing school for young ladies when we met. We attended many parties together for a period of months. Then, during one of my absences, she left with no indication as to where she was going. Now, 6 months later, I had received a telegram from her saying that she was the owner of a logging camp near Palmer Junction in Washington Territory and that she needed me. I took a steamer to Seattle and there rented a horse for the ride into the Green River section of the Cascade Mountains. There was snow on the ground and the air was strangely still as I rode through the tall, timbered mountain country.
Come far enough to stop where you are, mister.
All right.
Get down off your horse. You're a stranger in these mountains, ain't you?
You always shoot at strangers?
Nobody passes here. This is Mr. Hoffman's camp.
Well, look, I mean no harm to Mr. Hoffman. I'm just looking for another logging camp that belongs to Miss Mitchell.
Mitchell? And you turn around and go back where you came.
I've come too far for that.
Axel, what's going on there?
Stranger, Mr. Hoffman. He says he's going to that Mitchell.
Give me that rifle. All right, now. Now, shall we find out what this is all about?
I've got you covered, mister.
Don, my pistol is pointed at your man's head. Put your rifle down or he's dead.
No.
The rifle, put it down.
All right. Who are you?
Makes no difference who I am. I told this man I was going to Miss Mitchell's camp, and that's where I'm going.
No one is allowed to cross my land to get there.
Then I'll go around.
No, you won't. I own all the land surrounding our camp.
All right. In that case, I'm going through. And Axel here will guide me.
No.
I think you will. Get up.
Now, Mr. Hawkins.
On your feet.
What he says, Axel. Mister, if you've come to help her get those logs through, you're wasting your time. I'll stop you every way there is.
All I know is I've come because a lady called me. Now get out of my way. Circumstances, the man called Axel was only too happy to direct me to Elizabeth's logging camp and then depart from my company. It was a typical camp with a sturdy main cabin, a cook shack, several other buildings for the work gang, and the tool sheds. But something was wrong. There were no men working, and felled logs lay scattered about on the ground. They should have been in stacks for the trip to the mills. I dismounted and walked toward the cabin.
Hey! Paladin!
Elizabeth!
Is it really you?
Oh.
Oh, I'm so glad to
Elizabeth,
see you.
Elizabeth, it's good to see you, too. Now, here, let me just have a look at you.
I've changed, haven't I?
Oh, well, you're just as beautiful as ever, but I never expected to see you in these surroundings.
Well, this camp belonged to my father. He left it to me when he died 6 months ago.
Oh. Is that why you left San Francisco so suddenly?
Yes. Come on inside where it's warm. Oh, Paladin, I knew you'd come.
Well, you know, if your neighbor had his way, I wouldn't be here.
Oh, then you met Mr. Hoffman.
Oh, yes. And the giant, what's his name, Axel?
Axel Grundle.
Yeah.
Hoffman's woods boss. Sit down at the table and I'll pour you some coffee.
Good, I could use some. Elizabeth, why did he try to stop me?
Mr. Hoffman is the reason I sent for you. I need a man like you who knows his way around a gun. Here you are.
Thank you.
You see, after Father died, Hoffman bought up all the land that surrounds mine, and he won't let me cross his property to take my logs to the mill.
I see. Well, how many men do you have in your crew, Elizabeth?
My crew quit when they heard Hoffman had hired Axel. That man is a devil himself, and he'll make killers out of every one of Hoffman's men. My men were simply afraid, that's all. Max, my woods boss, is still with me. And then there's Jeff. He was a very good friend of Father's, and now you.
Well, we ought to hire some good men to work for you.
No. No. Until I get paid for the logs on the ground, I can't afford any men. There's money owed on this land as it is. And if I default on the payments, Hoffman gets it.
Well, how's that?
He bought the bank stock.
Ooh. He's kept himself busy, hasn't he? That noon, Elizabeth fixed lunch for us, and I met Jeff and Max for the first time. It was apparent that these two men had a deep respect for Elizabeth's father and had now transferred that devotion to his daughter. They had been trying to do everything they could to stop Hoffman from taking over the land, but they admitted that it was almost impossible. After lunch, Max showed me around the camp. Well, Max, what about Hoffman's woods boss? What kind of a man is he?
Axel?
Yeah.
Oh, shucks, he ain't no woodsman. He's a sailor, work out of Seattle. He's a crack shot with a rifle, though, I know that. He started taking pot shots at the boys while they were working. Scared them all off that way.
Uh-huh. Then he's strictly Hoffman's strong-arm man, is that it?
Yeah. That's why I brought you out to my shed here. There, come on in. Got something to show you. It's a kid under my bunk.
Max, I'm more interested in seeing what equipment you've got for stacking those logs.
First things first, Paladin. Here she is.
Well, would you look at that. An old Jennings rifle.
Ain't she a beauty?
Yeah.
Still shoots, too. I figured you'd be all for going after Hoffman's gang with guns blazing, so I've been loading shells for it.
Max, I'm not here to kill people. The job to be done is to get those logs to the mills.
Can't be done, Paladin. We got no men. Even if we could stack them logs, there's no way to get them through. There's too much snow. No roads out, no engine, no team, nothing. Nothing but my old Jennings and that gun of yours.
Maybe there is a way to get the logs out.
How? Ain't a man here can top a spar tree. I can't climb no more, and Jeff don't know how.
Well, tell me, Max, how much equipment do you have for moving the logs?
All of it. But that ain't the problem. We could move this whole mountain of trees, but not without a high rigger.
Maybe I can do it, Max.
You? Oh, you ain't no woodsman.
I think I can trim a spar tree.
Somehow I doubt that. But even if you can, how are we going to get them logs to the mill?
Max, how long has the air been still like this?
What kind of a question is that?
The air. It's standing still. It's strange. How long?
Oh, 10-12 days. Why?
I'm not sure. I was just thinking about something an old Indian chief told me one time.
What was that?
Well, I'd rather not say right now. Maybe he was wrong.
Elizabeth, I never seen nothing like it. You told me that man was a gunman.
Only if he has to, Max. Mr. Paladin's a good man to have around.
He sure is, ma'am. There's only one thing.
What's that?
I don't agree with where he picked that spar tree.
Why?
Why, it's too close to that old dry riverbed. If we're going to stack logs, let him get closer to the road where we can get a team up here come springtime and get him out.
Springtime's too late, Max. It's now or never.
All right, Max, done. Send up that block and ropes, and we'll stack the logs.
What's the use of it?
Do what he says, Max.
Come on, Max. Move.
It wasn't easy to get Max to agree to stack the logs where I wanted them, but finally the job was done. Now it was just a question of wait and hope. This went on for a week. Max and Jeff were getting edgy. It was all Elizabeth and I could do to keep Max from trotting down to Hoffman's place with his old Jennings rifle. But finally it came, what I had been waiting for. A Chinook wind. It comes, some people say, out of an old Indian's dreams. Others say it's the devil's breath on a particularly bad day. All I know is it came in dry and hot, and it lasted for 2 days.
Doggone it, Paladin, you was right. A Chinook wind, it's working. That snow's melting like it was summertime.
Look at that water come down.
Paladin!
That's Jeff.
Where'd he been anyway?
I sent him down the riverbed.
You're right, Paladin. Hoffman's onto our plan. He got Axel and his men building a log jam down below. According to law, he can claim every log that floats down there and stops on his property.
Concern him, Paladin. Let's go down there and shoot them all dead.
Max, if you don't settle down...
Paladin, you can't stop the logs from going now. The water's rising so fast, they'll be starting.
Wait a minute. Max, how much black powder do you have?
Enough to blow this mountain up. We use it for blasting out tree stumps.
Good.
What are you going to do?
Jeff, do you know how to use a pike?
I do.
All right, then. Now, you make a skid jam here. And when you hear a shot fired from down below, start the logs down. Will you do it?
You bet I will.
All right, come on, Max. Let's get that black powder.
There they are, Paladin, sure enough.
Yeah.
Hey, those timbers where they'll count the most.
Look, that axle's right in the middle where we got to plant this powder. How are we going to move him? I know. I'll shoot him from here.
No. If they hear the shot, they'd start the logs from up above. Now, listen carefully. Yes, Paladin. Max, I'll draw Axel off the jam they've built. Now, while I'm busy with him, you plant the black powder out there. Can you do it?
Bet I'll do it. Right smack in the center, all them logs that got stacked up.
That's right. Then get off the log jam in a hurry. I'll throw a shot at it and blow it up.
All right, Paladin. Good luck to us.
Right. You. You. Axel.
Call my name.
I did.
You. What do you want?
I come to fight you. I hear you were the toughest man ever to go to sea.
You scum. I'll fight you. This time without a pistol at my head. I'll kill you. I'll break you in two.
Oh, no, you won't, my friend.
Use your gun. My bare hands, I'll kill this man.
Get out of the way, Axel. I'll shoot him.
My bare hands, I will. You.
I killed him.
Yeah. You killed your own man.
I didn't. I never meant this to go so far. It was a mistake. Will they hold me for murder?
Yeah, I suppose they will. Even Axel had a right to live.
Paladin, that shot. You started the logs.
All right, get off the jam, Max.
You see where I put the powder?
Yes, I can see it, but get out of the way.
Paladin, here comes the log. Shoot, shoot quick.
All right, Max. There they go.
You made it, Paladin. You made it. Look at them logs go through.
Hey, boy, sit down.
Oh, why sit down? Want to learn baseball?
Sit down.
Oh, Esau, but... Hey, boy. boy figure to take many bats, ball, birdcage, run around very much and learn that way, not sitting in stuffy room.
Hey, boy, if I'm going to teach you, we're going to start at the beginning.
Ooh.
Now, come in.
Here's tea you order, Mr. Fowler.
Oh, yes, bring it in. Just sit it down, Miss Wong. Now, hey, boy, here's how the whole
Hello,
thing...
Hello, hey, boy. What you doing here?
Learning to play baseball.
Why?
Maybe get to be president of Imperial Dragon Club.
Oh.
Miss Wong.
Hey, cycle now.
Now, hey, boy, listen to this.
Yes, sir.
Baseball is played by two teams.
Hey, boy, not going to make it.
Trouble.
That was Have Gun, Will Travel, starring John Daner. That was from the original air date. It was the 29th of November, 1959. That was episode 54. John Daner went directly from Frontier Gentleman to conclusion of that one season series to playing Paladin. And Have Gun, Will Travel. It's an interesting oddity. It was a successful radio show that coincided with the television show. I forget which Boone gentleman played Paladin on the TV show, but the TV show was actually developed before the radio drama. And I don't know. I kind of have mixed feelings about Paladin. I never liked the guy on TV, so I have a hard time stomaching some of this. But that's neither here nor there. This is Arthur. Thanks for listening to the Grand Hour this morning. It is the vernal equinox. Spring is here. I should have checked because I have plenty of time how the Mariners and A's are doing over there in Tokyo. This baseball season is underway. Marco should be coming up next. I haven't seen any indications that he won't. I guess he changed the name of his show, so it's not even Wake Up Sleepyhead anymore. But anyway, we'll play out the rest of Along the Picket Fence. And in memorandum for Dick Dale, I will play out a couple of Dick Dale songs to close out the hour. Again, thanks for listening. This is Arthur, 91.5 FM WMFO, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.